welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And coming at you hot and fast, episode 128.
Can you believe it?
I can't. You know what? When we first started, I remember there was a story
that this cast tells.
There was a guy in the comments, and he's like, I hate you guys. You guys are the worst podcast ever, and you'll never make it to episode 128. And we're standing here to say, we made it, guy.
Yeah, so Corey Neese, take your words and fucking shove it.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we could just stop recording right now and I'd be happy.
So I realize that as of, well, I guess it would be a few weeks ago, we have now been casting for how long? Quiz time. Pop quiz. Hot shot.
Wait, what year is it?
Man, I don't know, dude.
Who's president?
I don't know.
I wish I did.
Reagan? Taft. No.
Is the Whig Party?
4 years.
That's what I was going to guess. 4 years. 4 years.
4 years we've had this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I feel like we should have come farther by now.
Yeah, we should have had... Well, in the beginning, we were only doing every other week. Like, that was
I'm not even talking about numbers. I'm talking about, like, quality of the cast.
No, that's never, no.
Much farther
along. We have
along.
The pop filters.
We
and
do.
And a recording board and a laptop showing all kinds of sound waves.
And a cool Star Wars notepad for the show notes.
That's top professional. It's a hardback notebook.
Yeah. Listen to this. Yeah. That's quality right there.
That is quality. Target quality. So we should be at, you know, if we did it every week, there'd be 208 episodes plus right now, and we're at 128. So something to think about. I was just like, man, if we were on track, I think the first maybe year-ish or 6 months we did every other week, and then afterwards we were like, we can kick it to every week.
Right.
And then as of the past 6 months, we haven't really been fucking putting out any episodes.
Yeah, it's been pretty horrible just with the... my wedding and honeymoon and just getting ready for that.
I'm working nights.
Yeah, Hot Sauce is working nights. We're in the middle of, you know, maybe trying to get some other people on the cast. And, you know, it's rough out here on the streets for a ninja.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, like I said, I'm recently married. And, it's take it or leave it, you know. But
I'm not thrilled about it.
Yeah. So, but I heard through the Twitter vine about some news.
I guess. Do I really have to go into it? Like, this is not news.
I mean,
I spent a bunch of money on a ring, and I went to the zoo, and I got down on one knee in the rain. That which actually was pretty awesome. Just to say that it was like in the rain, like total fucking. Movie,
right,
you know, proposal.
Yeah,
so pretty funny. So I went to this ambassador dinner, which I had no idea what that was. I just saw it on Facebook and was,
and this is the San Diego Zoo,
San Diego
world
Zoo.
famous,
absolutely. And I see this ambassador dinner, and it's like dinner and then animals, and I'm like, I don't know what this means, like if we're gonna like meet animals or like we're gonna eat animals. I don't know what this
is. You're gonna meet them. It's
and
the meat,
meet
meat.
Like we get the sloth and then it goes on the table and it has like the apple in its mouth.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, the couscous, that's delicious.
Yeah, and we try to turn it over the coals and stuff like that. So anyways, we show up. Well, first of all, I call the zoo after I got the tickets to this thing. Said, this is my plan. I said about the proposal. So what do you, I don't know what this dinner's like, though. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And they basically were like, it's probably a bad idea. And I go, okay, sounds good. Because they were just saying, well, it's like jam-packed. So, like, there's no, like, downtime. If there is downtime, it's because you're shoving food in your face. There's nothing, like, no
downtime.
So it's
like, there's, like, a live show going on.
Kind of, yeah. So when I get there, I still have the ring in my pocket just in case. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can make this work. You know what I mean? Because I think it's a good enough event.
Yeah.
It's at a good location, and it's not me just, like, paying, and then no offense to anyone out there, but paying, you know, $500 to get it put up on the big screen at a football game or something like that.
It's not Valentine's Day.
It's not Valentine's Day.
It wasn't Christmas.
I bought the ring on Valentine's Day, though.
Ah.
Which is pretty funny, because they're like, do you need the ring tonight? And I'm like, fuck no, I don't know. I'm like, no, absolutely not. This was just because my buddy had the day off, and I wanted to go in with him, because he bought a ring at the same place. This has nothing to do with Valentine's Day at all.
Right.
And
they're like, is it for him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whispering.
Yes. Shh. So,
By the way, I don't want to disparage anybody who proposes, you know, on Christmas or Valentine's Day, but...
But why?
I mean...
Why? Why?
Unoriginal. Are you going to let the Gregorian calendar dictate when you propose?
Didn't you just do yours at your house?
Yeah, It was the best surprise. Yeah, and that's
not
what
the
I
best
wanted.
Proposal.
Oh, granted, I had grandiose plans, but we're dog people. She loves the dogs. I figure I can tie it to his neck. You know, I played acoustic guitar. She was getting ready.
Oh, that's nice.
And we're gonna go out on this big thing for our anniversary.
That's nice.
And I was like, I'm gonna. And it was that day that I decided, I'm like, I'm going to do this in the morning. I'm going to fucking surprise her. She came out of the bathroom from getting ready. I'm sitting there, acoustic guitar.
She's like totally naked, like toilet paper stuck to her butt. Yeah. Picking her nose.
Yeah, one leg is shaved, one's covered in shaving cream. So I'm playing acoustic guitar to our favorite song. It's about marriage by the Descendants. And then I play the song, and then I open the door, and here comes Mr. Bowser with the ring around his neck.
I don't think I know the story, so this is pretty cool.
Yeah, he comes over, I have him sit, I take the ring off of his collar, and then I propose. And it was great, and I highly suggest, I can't stress this enough, you see in all the movies, they wait till the end of the night, after dinner, they're on the patio overlooking fucking downtown or the bay or fucking like whatever it is. Do it in the morning, because guess what? The rest of that day, you can't fuck up. There's nothing bad you can do for the rest of... Because they're just so fucking excited that they just got proposed to that anything you have planned is fucking amazing because they're just stoked. And so, I mean, you know, the rest of the day was actually pretty cool, but I felt like I was infallible the rest of the day.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know the whole story, too.
Yeah.
But mine wasn't like... what I wanted to do either.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like mine wasn't especially
awesome. What was your plan A?
I don't want to say because I think I might still do something later for like the wedding.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So.
Well whisper it in the mic.
Okay. I was thinking about doing a music video.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I think that's what it's going to be. So I'm thinking I'll still make that though or something similar.
The thing we were talking about before?
I don't know if it's the same one, but maybe because that'd be really funny though.
Yeah,
It'd be really fun. So, I still think about that one part. You know about that one part?
Yes.
We had this really brain... Okay, I want to say. You stay back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stay back. Get in the corner. I was going to say we were brainstorming one day, me and my associate here, and he came over and we're like writing down all these ideas of what we can do to make a music video as like the proposal video. Something you'd see on YouTube, something that I can be out in a public place and I can like have whatever, wherever we're at, play on their TV, this whole thing in front of a bunch of people or whatever. And people would be like, what the fuck's going on right now? So I wanted something like that. Total surprise, totally something weird. And we had this idea of getting all the themes from movies and previous music videos, like Guns N' Roses and all kinds of shit, and doing the acting ourselves. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but the one that was the funniest was a scene from Armageddon. Where it's Ben Affleck.
Ben
right?
Affleck.
And whatever, brunette and McPretty.
Yeah,
whatever
her name is.
They're like laying in bed or something, right?
Right.
And then he said that.
They're at a picnic.
Oh, okay.
And they're like having a picnic, and then like he pulls out the animal crackers, and then he takes the animal cracker, and then like it's like a fucking rhino or something, and he like.
Starts bouncing it around her.
Yeah, it's running across her belly, and then they're like, oh, it's a cute moment. And so we thought...
We would do the same thing.
Yeah, me and Hot Sauce could make...
Yeah, like, Corey's laying down pretending to be my fictional wife, and then I get my little animal cracker, and I do the little jump across the stomach, and then he just is tickled by it and laughs, and we both laugh, and then probably kiss afterwards, I don't know.
Yeah, just the
and then
hairy...
roll down the hill.
The hairy... Just chubby
like,
belly.
We were so excited about this like 3 second clip that would be somewhere in the middle that would be so awkwardly.
Yeah.
Just.
And then
so
just recreate, like you said, other scenes from movies and other scenes from like 80s hair metal rock videos. And it would all be put to music of you covering.
Me having the boombox outside the window and then you open the window, you know.
I don't want to do this. John Cusack. I want to do this so bad.
So that's what I'm saying is that I kind of spill the beans now, but whatever. You get, none of you guys are invited to the wedding, so who cares?
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, you could be playing, you could be covering a song, you know, to the
Music
I'm going to
be creating the song. It's not going to be me. It's going to be creating the music and the music video.
Oh, so it's not going to, you're not, it's not a cover.
It's not, well, it's going to be, no, it's going to be a cover, but it's going to be me doing the cover.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
doing
not going to be just playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be playing all the instruments. So, anyways, we're hoping that I can maybe pull something out of my ass for the wedding, so I can play at the wedding. But if not, then it'll be just, hopefully I can just do it sometime for no reason at all, because it sounds so fun.
And then you could, you know, like, what's the one where he, like, presents the ring and then he claps it on her hand and she's like,
That was the,
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, yeah.
And then Ghost. You could be
doing
the
all
pot
that
behind
shit.
Me. Oh,
it's all
God.
That stuff. And then, like, you have, like, the wife beater on, like, kind of like a baggy, the no bra baggy wife beater, you know? Good stuff. So, and anyone out there, just hit us up on Twitter.
Oh, please.
And just send us all the suggestions. Just send us all the gifts of all the cute stuff that you want to see two overweight bearded men do. For a music video for a wedding.
Do like some pour some sugar on me type
whatever.
Of shit.
On top of the hood of a Trans Am.
Exactly. Z28,
all
dude.
This,
just...
All this. And then, see, the listeners at this point are going, so what does this have to do with the proposal?
Yeah.
What does this have to do with her?
Yeah, in the end, he's going to propose.
Well, we're
going to
get a
lot
little bit...
of... Or not propose, but it's just for her.
Yeah. We were gonna. It's gonna be other stuff too. We're most excited about that half of the music video. That's
right.
Gonna be the fun stuff,
right.
And then the other stuff's gonna be more the serious. Like I'm making a video towards a person, more a classic. You know.
Yeah, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with
exactly.
you. And then here's my half naked friend.
So good.
In a wig.
I just want to hear all the suggestions. I just want to hear them all. Like send them my way, please. I want 100 of these fucking of gifts and ideas sent to my Twitter. That's so funny. So anyways, when we went to the dinner there, what we saw, like a pygmy falcon, the first thing we were like, they set you up with drinks or like food. So you go get your drinks, which is like alcoholic drinks, whatever, included in the dinner. And we were hanging out and then they bring out an animal and it was a little pygmy falcon. So it looked like a fucking sparrow basically, but it had all the classic predator things like it had the claws, it had like this the certain type shape of beak that would, you know, be for tearing some shit open or whatever.
Right.
So it looked like a falcon, but it was the size of like a sparrow.
Gotcha.
Which was pretty cute, you know what I mean?
Like a cute murderer.
It was. And so they had that, and then there was an armadillo, which was like I've never seen one, you know, 5 feet from me running around the carpet in like a restaurant. And it was just like scampering around. It was hilarious, you know, seeing that.
And I just want to say the one picture you took of the armadillo, the trainer had it in her hand.
Yeah.
And it was all balled up.
Yeah.
And the look on her face, it's like she was going to take a bite out of a really big apple.
Yes.
That's
she's a hungry girl.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, so that there was a I can't think of the name of it. It's like a cheetah, but it's smaller. And I can never think of what it's like a serval. I think is what it's called, a serval. Doesn't matter. It's cool. Cool looking cat. Big cat. Big jungle cat. And
big jungle cat or small jungle cat?
Small jungle cat.
Okay.
Bigger than a house cat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like size of a puma.
Okay. Like,
it's
yeah.
It's like a, it's like a puma. It's like a bobcat. Puma.
It's...
different sizes. Shut up. Anyways, it's like a warthog. Sounds the size of a warthog.
Yeah. Right? Are those things with tusks on them?
Yeah. Anyways.
Stop making up mythical creatures.
So... I couldn't really do it there at the dinner. I wouldn't want to do it at the dinner either, but it was raining outside, but only just so. And so I brought her out onto this like bridge with all this like cool LED lighting, and it was all nice and stuff like that, and did it there.
Nice.
And it was cool. So
you're like, hey,
I enjoyed it.
I know we're like all dry and warm in here, and our bellies are full of food,
better.
But let's just take a little walk in the rain.
Yeah. So we
and
go,
she's like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, just come on.
It worked out. She wasn't like, she was surprised. She just thought, it was like, I didn't time it awkwardly. It seemed like, oh, we have downtime. Let's go like
nice.
Walk around. It wasn't like, can you come with me? I need something to show you. Like, they're not like that. You know?
Yeah.
So
I think there's a fire over here and only you and I can put it out.
Yes, right. So
fire
we went,
love.
We came back and she's obviously like, she's fucking super flustered. And there's two gay guys that are at our table. There's like an old couple, a younger couple, and then two gay guys. And the reason I even say this is because once we sit down, you know, they noticed knew. They didn't know. They knew something was going on, but they weren't saying anything. And then she left to the bathroom, you know, 10 minutes later. And basically I just said like, yeah, I just proposed to her, whatever. And they were like, shut the fuck up. Right now, like, what do you mean right now? She's like, well, I'm like 10 minutes ago, I just did it. And they're like, oh my God. And they're both like panicking.
Yeah.
They were loving it, you know?
Yeah.
And so she came back and without saying anything to us, they ordered champagne for us and stuff like that.
Nice.
And then they covered our bill.
Wow.
I prepaid for the dinner stuff, but for the extra stuff that we bought, they covered that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were superstars. They were super fun.
And the energy they brought probably made it that much better.
Oh, yeah. It was so they were already having, before any of this was going on, I was already having a blast hanging out with these people.
Yeah.
You know, when we first sat down and a few minutes go by, we're like, man, we're at a good table. This is going to be fun. Like, yeah. These guys are having
a good group.
It's a good group. We're having a good time. And so, yeah, they totally hooked it up. So whoever you are, mystery people, that they live near walking distance from the zoo, I don't know who you guys are, but you guys are superstars. That was amazing.
Made
the night that much better. You know?
I was just reading this story about how it was on Twitter or something, about how this couple moved into a house and that their neighbors were a couple of gay men, and they were, like, the nicest. They were, like, too nice to where they were, like, it was almost like a nice off. You know what I mean?
Because
like
of competition.
They were just super helpful.
I'm going to pay your mortgage.
And yeah, just super nice and helped offer to clean up like the lawn clippings and like all this stuff. And it was just funny that the lady was like, I can't win. Like, I can't put up with this. This is too much.
Yes.
These people are too nice. They're bringing over all their fucking good stuff and yummy and stuff. Why aren't gay people known for that? You know?
They are known for that. You don't think so? They're super nice people.
I know that, but
we're generalizing them in a good way, which is still generalizing them. We need to tone it back. Pull it back, guys.
You know what? I just want to say that there's a bunch of gay dicks out there, and they're not nice.
They're not nice people.
Yeah.
They're jerks.
I don't want to stereotype gay people as just like friendly and helpful.
No, because that's offensive.
Courteous.
That's offensive. Don't do that. You're
fun.
Putting everyone under the same umbrella when everyone's an individual.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
What's your pronoun?
Dude, I'm speaking of pros, I don't know. I got nothing.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
That was a good setup.
I gotta blow my nose.
Good setup. So now I'm not gonna do what my friend over here did and ignore the cast for 6 months because he has some important wedding going on. I'm going to be planning this stuff out and it's not gonna impact me whatsoever.
So congratulations.
Thanks.
You know, this is the first time I've seen you since then, and face-to-face congratulations.
See the gray hairs?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big fan of the wife-to-be. Totally fun. But...
yeah, she's got one.
You're going to be doing all the wedding work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's not her...
no,
forte.
No, I'm going to be doing all the work.
You.
I'm going to be doing all the work, and she's going to be saying no or yes, basically.
Right.
Which should be the opposite. She should be doing all the work, and then just I can shoot some things down if I want
it's
to.
It's just there's pros and cons. You know, there's strengths and weaknesses. That happens to be one of yours. Good planner. You know, probably better than her. You know,
yes,
whatever.
For sure. She could do it. She's capable, but she doesn't have. Just the track record, like the life. I feel like the world has been pretty easy to her. You know what I mean? And that kind of when you have the complicated shit go on, and life just starts throwing some fucking curveballs, that makes you grow up faster.
Right.
Right.
And so, like for instance, if there's always complications, there's always going to be something not necessarily going wrong the day of, but just the process to get the flowers and to get this and that, and there's going to be difficulties along the way. For her, it might be overwhelming or a molehill out of a mountain or whatever the fuck they say. Whereas you're just going to take it in stride and be like, well, let's just figure out how to make it work.
Here's another thing. I don't know what the wedding or wedding party is going to be like. Things are kind of...
you don't have
interesting,
right?
So I don't even know if we're going to be doing it in San Diego.
Ah.
I'm not sure if we're even going to be having, like, best man,
that's
all that kind of stuff.
So smart, dude.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work out.
Fly somewhere, honestly, and then be like, well, if you want to be a part of it, come on out here.
Sort of.
And then, like, that cuts money, time, effort, all of that in half. Because you're still, and then you can invite whoever you want, because you know, like, 75% of the people aren't going to show up.
Right.
So you're like, oh yeah, come on out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, everybody's invited.
That's what we're leaning towards right now, is maybe not something too far away, but I think we prefer to spend our money on the honeymoon. I think both of us are kind of coming to that agreement.
Yeah.
And I think when it gets closer, she's going to start wanting more and more to do with the wedding. I think right now she's leaning towards, like, the
fun times.
The 50-50, maybe, like, the same price we spent on the wedding is the same price we spent on honeymoon.
Right.
And say we have a set amount of money to spend, so the wedding has to be pretty cheap. Right. But I think when she starts talking about stuff and things and seeing how chintzy the wedding is going to be, she's probably going to want more.
Right.
And that's going to impact the honeymoon. And so I think she's going to be stressed out over it, where I'm not going to be. I'm just going to have to just find the compromise for her.
Right.
But yeah, we're thinking of, so far we've talked about, only thing we've talked about is the honeymoon, which we want to do possibly New Zealand. Which would be fun.
Mm.
So,
Kiwis are delicious.
Yes, indeed. So that, and
that's
if not,
that's a long flight.
That's fine. And if not that, we're going to South Africa. Those are the two categories we have here. So
South Africa.
Mm.
Any particular reason?
Yeah, for animals.
But I mean, South Africa.
Yeah. Well, they speak English and stuff there, and it's like a British colony.
Right, right, right.
So it's not like we're going in the middle of the desert and shit like that. It's like actually has, like, there's, I don't know, it's like, it's normal.
I feel
there's
like
money
that's
there, Cape Town wineries, like, it's normal.
That's like where all the bad guys from Die Hard came from.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
All South African.
Well, I'm planning this to be.
And Lethal Weapon.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to have so much debt by the end of this, I hope I'm dead. So I hope to just get it all out there and just all the credit cards. And whatever. So when I leave, after day after the wedding, you guys are all saying goodbye.
Yeah, for
after saying congratulations.
I like
say
that.
Thank you for coming. I've had a great life with you guys. And then mic drop, and we go to Africa, and we get shot and killed, and then we get eaten by the animals.
And then your heads get mounted.
Yes.
By those pikes. By that weird rapper group, South African rapper.
That's it. That's it.
Do you know them?
You mean the white guys?
The white guy and
the girl?
White chick?
Yeah, they're in that movie Chappie.
You
seen Chappie?
Are. No, okay. No, I haven't.
And they're not good actors.
They shouldn't be in the movie.
That kind of ruined the movie.
They shouldn't be on film.
No, they sort of ruined that movie. That was really bad.
Yeah.
I didn't like their acting. I didn't like them at all. I found out afterwards that's who that was. But when I was watching the movie, I liked the ending. I liked a lot of the movie, but every time these people were on screen, I was like, "Ah, fuck!" Like, I don't like this African gangster attitude. It wasn't flowing with me. You know what I mean? So
Chappie deserves better.
So anywho, wedding stuff aside, everything's cool. We're having a great time. It's fun. Life is good. But I mentioned last cast. I'm gonna buy something. I'm trying to still figure out what I want to do. I think I'm out. I'm not going to buy a modern deck. So now I'm thinking about, do I want to buy a guitar or do I want to buy a gun? And I'll buy the gun if Reich wants to sell me the gun that I want that he owns, then I'll get that right away. But if it's not, and it's going to be me having to find and purchase a new one along with all that stuff, it's going to get up to the price of like a Les Paul, and I might just get a Les Paul instead.
How much is a Les Paul? The one that you want?
Like $1,100.
You can find your particular gun.
Yeah, I
for
can, but I also want accessories.
$720.
But I also want.
I mean, I've been looking as well.
Yeah,
so,
of course. But
yeah.
The SP01.
Oh, okay.
Not the regular one. I wouldn't get the regular one.
Okay.
I'd only get the SP01, and I also need accessories with it because it has an accessory rail on it.
Okay.
So
and so
after everything,
Reich has
then,
the SP01.
What's that? Yeah.
Okay.
And he's gonna sell it to me. If he sells it, he's gonna sell it to me with the light that I want. For it also.
Gotcha.
So
you can go on camping trips.
Yes.
Tell ghost stories.
And you have the gun right to my chin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so stupid. That is so dumb. Yeah. Good shit. So, hey, I got one thing to say about work, too. Everything's fine. as you guys have heard, I'm sure I'm a foreman now, which is awesome. But now, that was only because I was in training already, but now I'm officially a foreman because the last guy, the guy I was working for, fucked up, and so I had to take his spot, and that, like, it accelerated the process. Now, though, officially, they have given me work in the future. So this job that I'm at now is only because I got pushed into it. But now they said, okay, you're doing good with this, so here's the next job. This is going to be your job. And so it's the first time ever that I've had someone say, here is your job, not just, we're going to bump you up, you know, while you're at a job.
Right.
I've always been bumped at while I'm at a job. I've never been moved from job to job staying the same rank. I always fluctuate rank and stuff like that. So now it seems like I'm going to be at UCSD for the future. Like it seems like I'm going to be at UCSD
for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but I mean, like, could be like 10 years. They said you can't guarantee anything,
right?
But they said basically guaranteed the next 3 years you're going to be here.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah. Yeah, and then all that comes down to is how far away do I live from UCSD?
Right.
Which is not far. 20 minutes.
But not the current hours you're working.
No, it'll be daytime.
Good.
It'll all be daytime. They said that this is the first night job they've ever had at UCSD.
Okay.
So, it's not normal. But I don't mind the nights anyways, but I would, of course, prefer days. And the next job that they gave me or whatever is cool stuff. It's not, like, just lighting, switches, devices. It's, like, big switches and gear and stuff that, like, takes up a bunch of space. Like, all the cool, crazy shit. You know, not just little piddly stuff that you find in a wall. It's stuff that you do in the electric room itself, which is fun. Anyways, I'm excited. I'm thrilled. They're going to get me a truck still. They said you're going to need one after this job. So, basically, they have, like, 2 weeks to get me a truck. Which is cool.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
I'm excited about that.
I think that's the one thing you have been lacking in the past, you know, 5 years or whatever.
Stability.
Yeah. The stability of going, I want to work at this job. I want to be a part of this company. And then they're like, well, this project's over and everyone's get the fuck out of here.
My W-2 has looked different every year.
Yeah. So I'm happy that there's going to be some stability.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I will be getting... working some different hours, so I will be able to interact with some of our listeners.
You said you wanted to create a playgroup.
Yeah, I wanted to. You know, we've always kind of had a small group, just you, me, Reich, Aquickness, and then Sohn Crow came in, and you know, we've gotten together with a couple of our listeners. But I want to get like an actual playgroup going because I feel like there's not enough magic in my life right now. And
so
I don't get like a boner for it. So like all this stuff coming up, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's cool. And I don't want to feel that way about magic.
You want to be more excited.
Yeah, because I don't want it to be something like, well, I'm just not into it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not putting in like the work and I'm not playing enough to like kind of get me hard.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand.
I'm like working with rope here. You know? Pushing rope. Not that our listeners probably give a shit about guns, but just because I've been obsessive about them, now I forgot what I was going to ask you. Oh, so yeah, this one.
Let me see. What do you got? Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. And so what's the difference between the, SP-01 and
the rail right
75?
Here. The one in the front.
Oh, okay.
Little ridges right there.
So it's just the rail.
Yeah.
And then the 75, what is it?
It might also be a little bit to do with like part of the grip, but not like the overall shape. I think just like the materials they use.
Gotcha.
But it's not much different. They're only like $70 apart or something. But that one's cheaper than I've seen also.
So
I only see them at like 700 plus.
Gotcha. So we're talking about the CZ-75
SP-01.
9mm.
Yeah.
Hot Sauce is talking about the SP-01. I've been looking at the 75B, which
it's just the...
There's no rail.
It's the base.
Yeah, it's the base model.
They're going to be the same. But like I said, Reich has... Yeah, exactly. What does that one cost?
$620.
Yeah, so that one is $70 less, exactly.
Right.
So that the thing is, after that, though, of course, tax. And then, of course, you have to pay the dealer stuff.
Right.
And the transfer stuff. So, like, it's still going to be... let's just call it $120, $150 over that price
right.
to get it into your hands. And then besides that, you're going to want to get a couple extra 10 round clips,
Safe.
They, yeah, you need to well, get a safe. You need to get a safe.
Yeah, you already got the safe.
You need to get a safe, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shit like that. And safes are not cheap, bro, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, so I was trying to find I was trying to find the difference between gun cabinets and gun safes.
Yeah.
And, like, what California... Because
you're going to get something longer than a pistol, so you need to get a full-size thing eventually.
Exactly.
Not like a monster that holds 20 guns, but you need something that holds, like, 8.
Yeah.
You know, normal size, small size.
Yeah, well, I would like to get the...
Mine holds, like, 4. Mine is very small.
Right, right.
But it does... It holds rifles, though.
I would eventually like to get the Ruger 10/22, which is a 22 caliber, very small caliber. You know, you see, like, small children with these. You know, like...
You are a small child.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a perfect fit.
Or, like...
Your small child, your small Trump-like hand.
Yeah. Billions and billions of Americans have these guns.
Billions.
Have you seen that video?
No.
It's just Trump says that phrase a lot, and he pronounces it super weird, so they just clip together.
No.
He just, billions and billions and billions and billions.
But there's not billions.
Billions.
Not billion. Million?
Billions.
No, that's not good.
Billions. Not good. But he's not talking about the population.
Right.
But anyways, so... Yeah, I would like to get that just to have fun with, cheap ammo. And everyone's trying to, everybody I talk to, because I'm kind of getting into it like I am magic, where I'm doing research, I'm looking up safety, I'm looking up etiquette, I'm looking up all this stuff. And like a couple of people I know who are like actually into guns, they're like, oh, dude, you shouldn't get like the 9mm, you should get like the 45mm, or 45mm, 45 ACP, because it's a bigger caliber, has better stopping power, better for self-defense. I'm like, okay, settle down, fucking
yeah, we talked about this last
militia.
Cast.
Like, did we talk about last cast? Yeah, okay, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not ever
we
going to.
We talked about
to...
your rifle and that stuff.
Oh,
all, yeah.
Son of a
and
bitch.
And we've already talked about the CZ-75 SP-01 also, so.
Fuck me. Yeah, I don't plan on pointing it at anybody who has blood in their veins, so.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, well, I have a question for you.
What's up?
This is a question for the cast. Where's everyone else at?
Yeah.
Okay. What's some shit, maybe like pop culture stuff, that you just can't stand, but it's like popular? Like, for an example, I hate... Which is a strong word, but I feel like I just want to use it anyways. Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Right.
It's right.
Beloved. People are going to be like, what the fuck? Like,
right.
Every Christmas Eve, I watch all the movies.
Yeah.
Every year. And you're saying you hate Lord of the Rings? Yes, I do. I don't like it. That's one of the... I walked out of 2 movies, and that's one of the movies I walked out of.
I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan. I don't think I've ever seen... any of the movies all the way through.
No.
It's just...
Nothing happens.
It's not... You know what? I counter that with... I'd rather watch Willow.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know Willow?
Sounds like a tree. What is that?
It is a tree, and it's also an amazing movie from the 80s.
No idea what that is.
It's not amazing, but we watched it in school a bunch on rainy days.
Oh, I might have seen it. I mean,
probably.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really care for Lord of the Rings.
No. What else? What you got, though?
I was going to say, like, mumble rap.
Like, oh, bro.
Nothing drives me crazier.
Like Drake or something like that. Drake's like a better version of this kind of stuff. It's just the... Yes. Yes. Awful so-called music.
Oh, my goodness.
My chick listens to that stuff.
Oh,
gnarly.
Dude.
Because she does a lot of dance classes and shit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that stuff has beats that's good for like that quick pop type dancing, like all that stuff you see, the more street style of like So You Think You Can Dance stuff.
Dude,
it's like
put
street
it,
dancing.
Put it in the vows that she can't listen
to
it
anymore. Oh, she already
knows.
She already knows. When I get in the car and she has like a playlist on or whatever, it goes to do some song like that. And I go, no. Like, play your fucking Kelly Clarkson. Like, go for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
much
get the pop
rather.
Stuff on here. Play some hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
You know, fine. But don't play just monotone rap.
Yeah.
Like, you're pissing me off.
Like, all the auto-tune shit, and then the auto-tune shit from years past turned into this, like,
well, I can deal with, like, the Little John popular...
I can't stand that.
So I can deal
either.
With the club stuff. When stuff is, like, club mixes,
right.
I'm fine with that. I don't want to listen to it in my car.
Right.
But I I accept. It's fine. It's right in the middle, you know, for me. But the other shit you're talking about is real bad. Really fucking bad.
Also?
Country.
Well, I was just going to say another pop culture thing I hate is YouTube celebrities.
Man, isn't it the worst?
It's like, I mean, this I feel like we're getting old, you know, because all of a sudden we turn around and there's shit happening in the world that we just don't get. You know what I mean? We turn around and there's fucking people who have millions of followers and they're just fucking waste of space.
Like the gaming culture. There's a few gamer people out there that do the Let's Plays and all that kind of stuff. And they do the streaming and I listen to their... So I watch a video because it involves a game I like. I'm watching like The Witcher 3 or something. I want to see what they got to say about it. I'm watching a... whatever. I'm listening to their commentary and all I'm thinking of, if I was 13, maybe, but even at like 17, there's no fucking way I can deal with this guy's voice, attitude, the words that he's saying, how unfunny he is.
Yeah.
They just spit, they ramble, they never stop talking because that's what people need. They need the ADD crowd needs to just
be constantly
being talked to over and over again, no dead air, and they're just going to try to be funny with every word that comes out of their mouth.
You know what? As a testament to that, let's just have the next 5 minutes be complete silence. I really wish I had.
Okay. Well, here we are. Whew. This is the Trans-Canada Highway, baby. And we are standing in beautiful, sunny British Columbia at the kilometer marker. 7,128, and this is where I believe, with a 90%, no, make that 95% chance that this is, in fact, the very place where the Trans-Canada paved its last section. Woo! This is where the West meets the East. Canada has an asphalt belt, and this is the buckle. Woo! I want to see if I can't. I got to be careful here. But I am. This is the Trans-Canada. I got to be careful. Because I don't want to get in the way of a truck slide over. Well, you can see it. It's a divided highway. Ooh. Oh, I'm winded. Oh, the story that this road tells.
I've never been this excited about anything in my entire life.
Oh.
Never.
I wish I anything in my life I was that excited about.
Down the middle.
And then just comes his pants.
A downhill section, fortunately. Ladies and gentlemen, your Trans-Canada Highway. This is yours, Canada. But we welcome guests too.
Woo, hey. Oh, I'm winded. That man is very excited. Okay, so in contrast, I would love that, and I do love that, billions and billions and billions of times more than YouTube stars, because that man, for the pure joy, and he just wants to share that joy of a completed freeway with the rest of the world.
I am nodding my head right now.
And you know what he does? He's so excited, and he just wants to touch it. So he looks both ways. I don't know why he looks both ways. Traffic's only going one way. And he just runs out on there. And you just hear a childlike joy come out of that weirdo's mouth. And it's amazing. And I wish, like I was saying earlier, I wish I loved anything as much as that. And I don't.
That guy's poor wife. Poor wife.
Yeah.
You know he's got kids that are just so bored with him. Just so over his bad jokes and sense of humor and all this stuff. And he's just not a man. His wife is like just checking out every other guy at this point.
And he just comes home with loads in his pants, a fresh wad, because he drives home from work on the freeway every day. And how could you not, you know, especially the transcontinental one? I mean, this man. I wish I would orgasm.
Wait, one more come.
Time down the middle.
He's running. He's running down.
So good. I've never come that hard, ever.
I guarantee you I never have ejaculated and it felt that good, and I never will.
I don't even think I've ever made a noise coming. I don't think I've ever even gone, ugh.
I'm just
silent, staring in the eyes of my prey.
You're just like straight, no, you're prey.
Yeah.
The injured small animals.
Yeah.
And you're just silent, a stoic look on your face, stone Mario statue, Super Mario Bros. 3. Mm-hmm. Which I have your cufflinks, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
Probably a lie also, but still. You get it. It's never going to be like this.
No. The story that road tells.
This is yours, Canada. This is yours.
So, I got a couple things I want to talk about before we get to the magic. One, I opened up a TCG Player Sellers Portal. Meaning, if you go on tcgplayer.com and look up a seller named ILCK space KC Alchemist, you will find me selling some of my magic cards on there. And the reason it is KC Alchemist is because I put Knife City and they said, no, 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 that is not allowed.
2018, my friend, that is too violent.
Yes, we don't want any harassment nor violence. No LGS shootings. We don't want any of that. So you have to change it. And I said, okay.
And you did.
You got it, TCG Player.
But could you fit all the characters?
I did fill all the characters.
Did you have to take out the T at the end or something like that? Because
I took out like all the vowels.
Okay.
And just good. Consonants.
Perfect.
So recently, fucking Dark Confidant is just skyrocketed in price.
The market's moving all over the place, man.
I haven't really been paying close attention to a bunch of magic lately. But I do know that Bloodbraid Elf was unbanned. I know it made a showing at a couple different spots, mostly the Magic Online Championship Series or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, it's been around.
And
it's not been dominating, but I mean, like, been around. Like,
but Jund is back.
Jund is back for sure.
Jund is back. It was always there. You know, once they banned a couple things, it kind of took like tier 2
mm-hmm.
status, but I think it's back in force again.
Yep.
And then it just shot up. So I bought them at like 40 something, and now they're up to 80, 90. And I'm like, yeah, sell those fuckers. Get them out of here. I will buy them again whenever they're 40. And even if I don't, I'm still doubling up.
It's too much money to gain. That's why my foil Snapcaster went up to $140. And
you're like, see ya. Like,
yeah, what do you want me to do about
that? See ya forever.
Like, I have to sell this fucking thing.
Get out of my hands.
Yeah,
now.
It's going to get reprinted again sometime. It might take 2 years or something, but it's fucking Snapcaster. It's going to get reprinted. $140 that's too much money, you know?
I agree.
Or what else? Oh, you know what else I put on my store? Was the Chandra Torch of Defiance from San Diego Comic Con 2017.
Ah.
That one, the foils, skyrocketed up this last week.
Yeah.
And so that thing's going for like 150.
Not too bad.
And I wanted to keep that card.
Right.
But I don't need to keep, I mean, I could buy a full playset of the regular one.
Exactly.
You know, or near maybe 3.5 copies of it, you know. Someone's going to sell me a half copy.
Yeah. So. Just the pluses.
Yeah, that's all I need. I don't you need don't need art. The art. I'm not really into art. Doesn't really matter. It's fine. So that one didn't sell yet. I haven't, but I just put it up yesterday, and it's just too much money. That one, and then Liliana the Last Hope is like the same thing. It's like 130 right. or something right now.
Right.
Which same thing. I wanted to keep that one because those are the two playable ones that I'd love to have in,
especially a modern the last deck hope.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, great cards. But what are you gonna do?
You can't.
It's too much money.
Yeah.
It's too much money.
Like you so. Said, you can turn around and buy multiple copies of the regular ones.
Right.
Which you need more than one. More than likely.
And I'm not going to... And another thing with these kind of promos is, yeah, I'll buy multiple foils of something, but I'm not going to buy multiple San Diego Comic-Con promos.
Right.
Like, I'm never going to get to the point where I need 4 Liliana Last Hopes. I'm going to buy 4 Comic-Con ones? No.
Fuck
And
no.
I don't like having different arts and different stuff usually on cards because then it gives the player...
Information.
So,
I just thought teased you. You had a SDCC Liliana in your hand, and then I Inquisition you next turn, and I see you have, like, another one or a different...
I give that a bad example, but yeah, you
get but the point. But the point is getting across, you know?
It's getting there.
Or
want to try again?
With lands? Lands. Lands is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that kind of shit that is another thing that kind of stops you from doing that. So, but it's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of fucking money. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I get you. You know, those Torch of Defiances are going up, and if only I could pull one in a pack. And I might be able to because Toys R Us is going out of business. I think earlier this month or last month, they said they were going to be closing about 100-something stores in the United States.
And yeah, San Diego's one of them.
And then they just recently announced that they're going to be closing all of their stores in the United States. And they're going under. Toys R Us, the big toy video game monster of the 80s and 90s, is going to go bye-bye.
I went there as a kid a lot.
Right.
But since, I would say... 10 or 12 years old, I haven't been back.
I go there maybe once a year for like Christmas shopping.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
oh,
for Christmas shopping for like my niece Fair or enough. Something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I got those like, I don't know, those like big dolls that she likes.
Okay.
I don't know what they're even called.
I don't have any kids in my family.
Yeah.
Pretty much at all. So, I get that. That makes sense. Some of those kind of toys, it's not like online is good for... toys a lot of times, right. I feel like.
Monster High School or something. I don't even fucking know.
Something I've never heard of for sure.
Yeah.
So you can try again. I'm going to believe you just as much as I believe you the first time.
Vampire Bandcamp.
Perfect.
So yeah, they're going under, and I mean, by the time this comes out, it might already be too late, but I can only assume they're going to be selling off all their inventory of everything. Super cheap prices, and that includes their Magic content, which... Last time I went, it wasn't a huge section of Magic. You know, there was maybe some fat packs, maybe some Commander precons, some loose boosters, maybe like the shitty Magic board game or whatever. And that was about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to be getting a good deal on it, you know, go down there, check it out. I might even go later today after we're done casting.
Yeah, why not? Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, just check it out.
And then if you feel like... You want to just buy out the whole damn store, let me know, and then I'll then you some money.
Yeah.
We'll just split the packs or some shit.
I'm down.
So I did check online today, and I couldn't really find much. Everything was out of stock, too, but they did have the Planeswalker board game for $10. I'm not saying we'd ever get that. I'm just saying that's kind of a
indication.
What
I'm seeing,
the indication of what prices they're
going
to be.
Gotcha. And that was normally going for $40?
$40, yeah. Which I imagine it'd probably be more for $30 now. I don't think that anyone's going to sell for 40 anymore because I don't think it's selling.
Right.
But 10, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah. So if nothing else, you know, we can hope for maybe prices cut in half.
Yeah, we're hoping maybe there's Commander products or, you know.
I would snap by all the Commander
stuff. Or if there's like fat packs.
Yeah.
You know, that are under $20 or some shit like that. That'd be cool.
Stuff so, like that. You know, check it out. I just saw this news yesterday.
Try it out.
Try it out. See if it feels good. So, it's March, and March Madness is a basketball thing, I assume.
No, stop.
With the basketballs.
Nobody cares.
And there's some MTG March Madness going on with hashtag MTG Dogs. It is dogs of semi-known and well-known Magic people in the community.
This is such a stupid topic.
And it's March Madness for doggos. And round one is already over, I do believe. Luckily, you know, I was honored enough to have Daisy, my bulldog, entered into the competition. And unfortunately, I was up against...
the Pug King.
Yes, what's his name?
Chris Van Meter.
Chris Van Meter. And so it was a pug versus a bulldog. And I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of pugs, but that pug was cute. It can smile. How the fuck am I supposed to beat a pug that can smile? And also, it's Chris Van Meter. So a
voting was close.
A non-zero percent of the field was more of a...
Was it like 40-60?
Yeah, it was 42-58.
Yeah.
The last total. So Daisy put up a good fight, but I can imagine that, you know, some of it was a popularity contest. And as I'm surprised it played out the way it did, because who the fuck knows me, and everyone knows Chris Van Meter. But it was, you know, two kind of chubby, balding men with their scrunch face, ugly dogs, and had a good time. So look up hashtag MTG Dogs and get your voting on.
Sponsored by MTG Dogs.
Sponsored by MTG Dogs. Okay.
Tell me.
I can't tell you yet, but I can tell you on March 22nd all about the sweet testing I've been doing on Magic... What's it called?
Arena.
I'm still waking up. Magic Arena is the Hearthstone-style MTG game. It's halfway... I've said it before, it's just the fancy duels.
But it works really well.
It works quite well, and we'll go into the details about that on March 22nd, because that is when the non-disclosure agreement ends, and people can start streaming MTG Arena. They can start talking about all the details on their podcast. They can start rubbing their penises up against the screen, taking dick pics and sending them out, and nobody will get in trouble, at least from Wizards of the Coast. So that's exciting.
And they're going to wipe all the beta stuff.
Right.
So whatever packs you've worked super hard to open and yada.
Everyone's starting fresh.
Yeah, which luckily they never had any pay.
I mean, you could.
No microtransactions.
You could, but...
No. You can't use crash money to buy packs in the beta.
Oh.
No, absolutely not.
I was under the impression you could, but no. It was all going to get taken away.
No, absolutely not. You can't. It's just when you earn in-store in-game credits from winning games and
gotcha.
Whatever, then they give you packs and shit like that. But no, there's no way to pay for anything.
For one reason or another, which I won't go into until the 22nd, I stopped playing my beta version. But we'll go into that on the 22nd.
Right.
And that leads us right into the topic of the century?
Yeah, kind of. It's pretty crazy what happened. I'm sure you guys are aware, but some of you folk might just be more of a casual player and don't really pay attention to just every single thing that happens on the internet with Magic the Gathering. But as you guys may know, after Rivals of Ixalan, which is the set that we have out right now, we're going back to Dominaria, which I believe is the set that it's never been a set, but that Plains has been in the lore of old Magic stuff. And so we already knew that we were going back, but now there was a big leak from this, what do you want to call it? There's a name for the article that was released. It was like notes about the set or something like that.
Yeah,
that
so
comes
it's
out with
kind,
the release date.
It's kind of the,
teaches you the mechanics. It tells you,
for lack of a better term, like the liner notes.
Yeah,
you know, whatever you want to call it.
But unfortunately, however you want to see it, shit ton of cards got spoiled. All the mechanics,
not even 150 spoiled
cards.
They got leaked real bad.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy. The set looks awesome. I'll say that much. Wizards has said that the leak is true. There's no art, but they release whatever the release notes were. They said that, yeah, this is all accurate. And so it was in Chinese. It was on a Chinese site that posted it instead of posting something about Magic 25, I guess. They accidentally posted those release notes instead of the Magic 25 ones. And so they came out the next day and said, yeah, these are true. And because they're already out there and we don't want people to have bad translations of stuff, to do that, you know, if something's badly, poorly translated, it'll just screw everything up anyways. When people like buying old cards in anticipation for this new card coming out because it interacts, and then you realize the text is different and it doesn't work that way. So they announced, they released all the notes for all languages that Magic supports, and you can find it all on the Magic Wizards website or whatever.
If you would like, just Google MTG Dominaria notes, and I believe it's the first link.
There you go.
Because that's what I'm currently doing.
Pretty crazy, though. There's like 150 cards spoiled out of the 250 or 270 or whatever's in the set. Shit ton of stuff.
So, like, more than half.
Yeah. And it's tons of all the, you know, the mythics and the rares and all this shit. It's all out there. It really is.
So, this...
pretty crazy.
I mean, I feel like every year...
Do you want to just go... I'm sorry. Do you want to just go on Mythic Spoiler? Because they have everything in, like, card form there.
Right, yeah. I wanted to talk about something about the notes, okay, too. But every year, it's like something comes out and it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the most anticipated set of all time. And then like, oh, we're going back to Innistrad. Oh my god, this is the most exciting thing ever. Oh, four color command. Oh, four color commanders. Thank you, Canada. And so I feel like this really calls for that excitement of going back to Dominaria.
Crazy shit's going on here.
Yeah,
for
so this
sure
is going back to the origins of the original, like, bunch of the original sets.
Yeah, like
sets.
Alpha, Beta, Unlimited shit.
Yeah, and like all the initial, Weatherlight fucking
all
shit,
the weird
I think.
Shit. So another thing before we get into cards is that Richard Garfield, the creator of Magic the Gathering, he came back to work on this set. And I'm not sure what last set he worked on or what he's doing for the company, but basically, you know, however long ago, a couple of years ago, Mark Rosewater asked him if he wanted to help him out with a future set, and that he said yes before he even heard what it was. And then he's like, well, it's Dominaria. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I already said yes, but that sounds great. So that's another exciting thing. That the cards in this set should be great. And they are, but I mean, they just hearing that, you gotta imagine that this has got to be a powerful set, some set that's going to stand out. It's going to be something that is like Innistrad, or I mean, what other set came out that is that impactful? You know, there's not a lot out there.
I mean, minus the actual cards and the gameplay of the cards, just the flavor and the setting of the plane. I think Return to Ravnica, holy shit, we're going back to places. Innistrad, oh, everyone had a big boner for the original one. Second one, not so much. And then, you know, Dominaria. Those are the...
like Zendikar was a good one, but we already came back
to
that.
Yeah, Zendikar, I mean, yeah. But I feel like this is the biggest one. And they have a super secret project associated with Dominaria that involves a fun new way to play Magic. They already planned to talk about it, but now we plan on using Dominaria cards as an example. So, I mean, I would get excited about that, but the past two things that they've said like that was the Explorers of Ixalan, which just looks like crap, and the board game before that that mysteriously showed up on your porch.
Yeah.
Morrow.
By the way, one of the guys on Twitter said that Explorers of Ixalan is like half off at Barnes & Noble right now.
I mean, I would buy it just for the reprints.
That's what I mean, is that yeah, you don't do anything else with it. You just buy, you're getting, it's free value, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. Let's jump into some fucking cards.
So, I want to cover Planeswalkers first, right?
Let's do it.
So, Karn, Scion of Urza. It is a 4-mana Planeswalker, all colorless mana, or generic mana, or whatever you want to spend on it. 4 mana. Karn is usually 7, that's why it's good with the Tron lands. But this Karn is just 4, any color. +1, reveal the top 2 cards of your library. An opponent chooses one of them, put that card into your hand, and exile the other but with a silver counter on it.
Okay.
Minus two. What is a silver counter, right? So, minus two. Put a card you own with a silver counter. Minus one. Put a card you own with a silver counter on it from exile into your hand. So, now those cards that were the best cards, you know, the best version of the top two, then you get to go ahead and put that into your hand instead. So, it's basically all you can do off the get-go is either plus one or the last thing, which is minus two. Create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with... This creature gets plus one for each artifact you control. So right now it's a 1/1, of course, because it's counting itself. But depending on what deck you're playing, that thing could just minus two, and go wild. And the construct of the five loyalty. So you can make two of these creatures right away, or you can just plus it into oblivion to get card advantage as best you can. So it doesn't... This is not some 7-mana Karn power level. You're not just straight exiling permanents. But this is, no matter what colors this is, I'm already down with this. This already sounds great. All these abilities, you're getting card advantage in two ways, and you're protecting itself with a minus. And it could be in any color deck. Like, no problem. This card is fantastic.
So, just a little argument, pro and con.
Yeah.
It's a 4-mana Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Pretty good cost. It's... You know, any color mana. So you can put this in any deck you want. Any deck. The first two are card advantage.
Just said all these words in this order.
And I'm doing the pros and the cons.
Good God.
The first two are card advantage.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Second one, the minus. Oh, let me read it.
Jesus, it's protection. I just said this. Oh, my God. Knife!
I don't pay attention to you.
Holy shit, like you just, I think subconsciously you heard me say the words, and you're like, yeah, that's good, that's good. And then you just regurgitated it in the same sequence of words that I just said.
But.
Is this like every other episode? Oh my God! Holy shit.
So this happens every other episode. So the other case is.
Go on.
You're using 4 mana to get one card of your opponent's preference, where you could have just cast a spell for 4 mana to draw some cards. It slows you down a lot, and it's not busted, you know. But there's still the equity of having to kill Karn.
Yeah, it's six loyalty at that point.
So
to plus it.
There's like definitely pros and cons to it. I think it's going to do more good. You know, it's going to see more action than people think. Just because of the colorless aspect of it.
I think it's going to see a ton. I don't know where it's going to fit. It doesn't seem like you look at this card and go, oh man, it's a perfect fit for this deck. The only thing that even says anything like that is going to be because it creates artifact creature tokens that have to deal with artifacts. So the only thing I'm pulling from it is that, yeah, some deck that cares about artifacts. But besides that, I don't know. There might be some kind of like Tezzeret style thing where it's like blue-black. Probably blue, mostly. And that cares about artifacts, because blue likes artifacts.
Well, so, black has like really been into artifacts lately in the past couple sets.
Yeah, exactly. Tezzeret's both colors. So that makes sense, but I still don't know what that deck is.
Right. You know,
I'm not really sure.
So moving on to the other Planeswalker, we have Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. It's 3 white-blue, starting out at 4 loyalty. +1, draw a card at the beginning of the next end step, untap 2 lands. That's pretty good for a blue-white control deck.
No, it's great.
I would say that's pretty fucking amazing.
I think it's like, it's not par for the course. It's probably just a little bit better than for the course, because the 5-mana Jaces and even like the Obnixiluses have been the same kind of thing. Like, the plus is draw a card. And they have a little bonus. One of them was Scry, or one of them was... I don't remember what the other one was. One put into your graveyard and then you draw or something like that. I don't know.
I think this one does exactly what a control deck wants to do.
The 2 lands, yeah, it's good.
Because
it's really good.
You feel, when you're tapping out in a control deck, you need some backup. You need to win the game on the spot. You can't just play a 5-drop and then draw a card and then hope everything goes well after
that. If this wasn't a blue Planeswalker for some reason... then that untap 2 lands thing would not mean as much.
Exactly.
You know, because you want to play on your opponent's turn.
So yeah, you leave up counterspell mana. So the -3, put target non-land permanent into its owner's library, 3rd from the top. Okay. Minus 8, you get an emblem with whenever you draw a card, exile target permanent and opponent controls.
Crazy. Yeah, that's a crazy ultimate.
So it's a win condition on the Planeswalker.
It's sort of like the Chandra one where every spell you cast does 5 damage or, you know, it mills a certain amount of cards or whatever.
Some of them
that you just give it a couple turns, like you're going to win no matter what. It doesn't win on the spot, but with that out, it's like, man, we're giving you so much help here.
Yeah, it's going to be hard not to win.
So there's one more Planeswalker as well.
Oh, there is.
Jala
yes.
Ballard? Bayard?
Ballard.
Jala... Jaya... I can't do it. It doesn't matter. Jaya. There you go. It's probably Jaya. Jaya Ballard. It is 5 mana. It's 2 and 3 red. 5 loyalty to start off with. And the +1 is add 3 red to your mana pool. And spend this mana only to cast instants or sorcery spells. My other +1 is discard up to 3 cards, then draw that many cards. And the -8 is you get an emblem with you may cast instant and sorcery cards from your graveyard. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exile instead. So basically it just kind of gives that snapcaster effect on all of your cards. But it's an emblem, so just there forever. So basically your graveyard, your instants and sorceries from your graveyard become part of your hand for the rest of the game. And so that's cool because then you can just draw a new card. You draw a new card for the turn, and it's something that you like. It's Lightning Bolt. Cool. So you cast Bolt, and then right away you get to cast it again.
Yeah.
You know, without paying the Snapcaster fee and having to waste another card. So you're just getting automatic card advantage off of instant sorceries. I mean, I think this card is amazing in Commander. That's what I think. If it can stick around. Planeswalkers are not particularly amazing in Commander because it's so hard to keep them alive.
Right.
But this one is pretty great because it is going to be at 6 loyalty right away no matter what. And being able to look through 3 cards is really good. That can get you ahead in Commander. And then that ultimate, you know, your graveyard's stacked in Commander. So big. So if you were able to somehow get this emblem off, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the 3 red is going to be hard. You know, it's going to be restrictive to some decks. So it's going to need to go in a very specific deck. But, I mean, I could even see this being the top end of a kind of aggressive mono-red standard deck. Just because of the being
able... aggressive?
What?
You think aggressive?
Yeah, okay. This is like the very, very top end.
A little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, good. This is the very top end. 5 being very heavy for aggressive decks. So maybe it's a little bit more on the mid-range side. But the +1, like burn style, or combo style, at +1.
So if I may.
Right.
The reason that this, for me, cannot be in an aggro deck is not because of the mana cost, even though that is 5 is a lot. It's because that if you have no cards in hand, which an aggro deck always has, this card doesn't do anything if you draw it. Both pluses, which is the only thing that matters, don't do anything.
That's true.
You don't have cards to discard, and you don't have anything to spend the mana on. So this can't be, in my opinion, in any kind of aggro deck, any kind of Hazoret deck or nothing like that, because you're going to be having no cards in hand for sure, and this just can't do that. So this is strictly a control card for me, and nothing
else. Okay, maybe like a blue-red
style deck.
Something where you're going to have a lot of cards.
Yeah, also, Rakdos is a control deck now in Standard. Not saying tournament-winning one, but I have seen a decent amount of red-black control stuff. A lot of fucking removal, you know what I mean? And Chandra's getting played and stuff like that. So I can't see it. And it's like I said, not because of the mana cost. It's because when you top deck this thing, this card is a blank. And that sucks. Like, I wouldn't even... If this thing happened and you play it or whatever and you +1 it and say go. If I was the opponent, I'd be like, I'm not even attacking that thing. I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
What are they going to do? Draw their next card and then be able to discard it and draw one more? It gets a redraw? That's all this thing does? Like... Mm. I don't give a shit. They already have 5 mana. They already obviously aware to cast it, so I don't see it like that at all. But
Maybe better off in Commander.
You know? Like the Chandra one will give you card advantage. You know, if when it's you're top decking it, you can either kill something that's being a pest, or you can go ahead and start exiling it and looking at the top card of your library and seeing if that's something you can cast this turn. Otherwise, you're just pinging your opponent for 2, and so that'll be an inevitability. While you're both top deck war or whatever. So the other Chandra, I think, is a lot better for that. And it's, you know, cheaper.
Good points.
So
next we have, this is basically, we were talking before the cast, It's essentially the cranks from Unstable. My personal opinion is that they tried them out in Unstable. They got good feedback and reviews, so now they're doing a more simpler version of that with the sagas. And we're looking at the Phyrexian Scriptures, 2BB for an enchantment saga. And the reminder text says, as this saga enters and after your draw step, add a lore counter, sacrifice after 3. And so there's a 1, a 2, and a 3. So as this enters and after your draw step. So it enters and you put 1 counter, lore counter on there.
Yeah, so right away you do the first thing instantly.
So the first thing, put a 1/1 counter on up to 1 target creature. That creature becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. 2, destroy all non-artifact creatures. Creatures! And 3, exile all cards from all opponents' graveyards. And then after it hits 3, you sacrifice the enchantment. And, oddly enough, the card is split down the middle, vertically.
Yeah,
which is very, very weird.
They're getting weird with like the Aftermath stuff and all this shit. They're changing things up a lot, making unique card design. I've seen where like Proxy Guide or whoever did it in a traditional form, where it was just split down the middle horizontally and has all the text on the bottom like Cryptic Command would or something like that.
Yeah,
and I thought that looked better.
Yeah,
to be honest, this is fine. It seems pretty cool. I'm not down on the art or nothing like that. But I actually just like it being the other way. And I don't mind having a different kind of card frame sort of on the side where it has the Roman numerals for what counters do what, but, you know.
I think the thing that gets me is the reminder text makes it a little sloppy. And you need the reminder text because obviously this is a new mechanic. It needs to be explained. But the reminder text makes it feel a little off-kilter.
A little bit. So you play this card. 4 mana, you do the first thing right away, creates an artifact, or turns something into an artifact, puts a counter. Next turn, destroy all that, everything except for the creature that you created, and hopefully you're playing an artifact deck. You're playing, you know, with a Karn, and you're in Tezzeret, and you're trying to artifacts matter type shit. And then the last thing, exile all the cards from the graveyards. I guess, like, all the creatures you destroyed now can't come back, I guess. But I'm trying to figure out, like, where this fits, you know, because it is a mythic, and it seems very powerful. I guess it. At least it's only your opponent's graveyards. I didn't really think about that. That's pretty good. I was just thinking of nuke all graveyards. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess it's just like a slow wrath that protects one thing on your board. So it's like a one-sided wrath sort of where you're able to destroy all your opponent's creatures. That's not bad. I mean, for 4 mana, waiting a turn, a little suspend 1 on there. That's not bad for a one-sided board wipe. You know, like, Garruk's Wake and all that kind of shit costs fucking 9, so.
So I always love reading the texts or the comments on Mythic Spoiler, because people are always talking shit or coming up with, like, crazy combos. And I would like to just point out that there's a card called Power Conduit. It's a 2-mana artifact, colorless. And basically it says, tap. Remove a counter from a permanent you control, and then choose 1. Put a charge counter on target artifact, or put a 1/1 counter on target creature.
So right, you're saying that right away you'd be able to activate this thing.
No, I'm saying once it gets up to the board wipe, at your end step, you remove a counter, and then it's a board wipe again. And then you remove a counter, and it's a board wipe again.
Gotcha.
Every turn, it's just a constant board wipe.
Yeah, and then you're just playing nothing but artifacts, so it's good to go. Is that a modern legal card? What's it from? What set's it from?
Let me see. Change set. This was from Mirrodin.
It's 2 mana?
2 mana.
What does it cost to activate or whatever? Or
it's just a tap. It's just it's a just fucking tap.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And then you get benefit from it.
So, yeah, that's a good against the odds, Saffron Olive. Get on that. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not gonna break the fucking game, but I mean,
but if you can lock somebody out,
definitely interesting.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
2-card combo to lock them out of playing creatures unless they're artifact creatures by chance. But
yeah, that's fun.
A lot of times not. So we got another weird thing. We got legendary sorceries, which is pretty weird. Never happened before. And this reads what makes it legendary, it's not just because you can only cast one per turn or something like that. It actually has some totally original text that I wouldn't have even been able to guess what this means. You know, like they said, oh, they got legendary sorceries coming out. I go, okay, I have a couple ideas of what that could be. This is not one of the ideas I would have thought of. You may cast a legendary sorcery only if you control a legendary creature or planeswalker.
That's unfortunate that it's not legendary permanent.
Yes,
it has
I agree.
To be
like a land or something like that, right?
A land, artifact, an enchantment.
Yeah, man, I'm a little weirded out by that too.
Kind of a bummer.
So, and one of the examples, I'm guessing it's a mythic. The rarities, I don't really know because they didn't announce the rarities in the notes that they released. So this one says it's mythic on Mythic Spoiler. I don't know. We'll see. But
well, it's legendary. There's a good chance it's mythic,
I guess. So exile all non-land permanents that aren't legendary is this 5-mana white sorcery. It's 4 and a white legendary sorcery, Urza's Ruinous Blast.
And so this is part of a cycle for all the colors. Everybody gets one.
What's the blue one, dog?
The blue one is Karn's Temporal Sundering for blue-blue. Target player takes an extra turn after this one. Return up to one target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Exile this thing. Well, that has nothing to do with legendaries, except you can only cast it if you have one. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of strange, isn't it?
Black one is to be foreseen.
Yep, the red one is... There might not be, because these are all referencing the planeswalkers that are here. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, there probably will be a black one, but it won't be after a planeswalker. It'll probably be after just some legendary creature in the set. Anyways, the red one is... Immolating Inferno, it's X red red, and it deals X damage to each of up to 3 targets. So it could be, you know, they're changing the rules, which we're going to get to in a little bit, I'm sure, but basically targets means anything. So it doesn't mean just creature or player anymore, it means creature, player, or planeswalker. Now, planeswalkers and players are separate completely.
Yes, that is something we didn't touch on in the notes, is that... They are now changing it, so non-combat-based damage
is not
cannot be redirected to the Planeswalker.
So MTGO won't say that any longer.
Yes.
If it says that an opponent takes 2 damage every upkeep, it's not going to say, do you want to redirect this? It only goes to the opponent.
So now they're going back and rewording a lot of the cards. Not all of them.
It'll say either to player or Planeswalker, or it'll say to any target.
Right.
Basically. So if it's saying that we want this card to still be redirectable, they're going to say it does 2 damage to target opponent or planeswalker and opponent controls, or just maybe planeswalker in general without opponent controlling. And it, like Lightning Bolt in the beginning said, in like alpha and beta, whatever, said 3 damage to any target. And then it changed to 3 damage to any creature or player. And now it's back to 3 damage to any target.
So this is the first time I'm reading...
What's your pronoun?
...a lot of these. What?
What's your pronoun?
It's Kamal. Kamals? Yeah, Kamals.
Kamals.
Kamal Druidic Vow. X green, green. Legendary sorcery. Look at the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of land and or legendary permanent cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest... into your graveyard.
It was like Genesis Wave.
So yeah, so there's a lot of different types of these.
This one's good, though.
This one includes lands.
This one's great as long as you can meet the fucking legendary part, which is going to be such a bummer.
But like,
I want to be able to cast this card, but am I going to be able to cast this card? I don't know.
In Commander, not that hard.
No, you're right, but also...
I do really wish... that it was any legendary permanent, because it's such a bummer that we can't use, like, the Theros enchantments and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool. What about this? Steel Leaf Champion.
Lay it on me.
3 green. That's it, 3 green. It's a 5/4. So you're like, okay, it's a 3 mana 5/4. Where's the downside? Ho-ho! Doesn't have one, has an upside. Can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. So, mono green Stompy. Which is actually the only modern deck I have on MTGO. There we go. This is 4 of.
Welcome Devotions to higher. The chain.
It's a 5/4.
Chain gang.
Normally they have the 3-mana all green 4/5. That's awesome. Now this one's even better.
So this is part of another cycle, one for each color.
And they're all so good. They're all so good, dude.
And unfortunately, we're left without the black one. But we have Goblin Chain Whirler, triple red, Goblin Warrior 3-3, has first strike. When this dude enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to each opponent and one and each creature and planeswalker. So everything gets one damage. Everything that could possibly take one damage is getting one damage for your opponent.
I mean, this card is so good. All these cards are, like, fucking awesome. I'm guessing they're uncommons. It looks like it.
Yeah.
And the power level kind of says that to me, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The blue one? The blue one is silly.
The blue and the white one are pretty good.
Bro, they're all good. So let me take the blue one. Tempest Djinn. It's three blue. I mean, you see what's happening here. It's flying. It's an 0-4, but it gets +1/+0 for each basic island you control. So if you're playing a mono blue deck, which is probably the only thing that's going to support this, it's automatically a 3-4 flyer for 3. That is top. That's top dog. That's top gun.
Yeah.
And it just gets bigger. So five mana, five lands that you have, you get a 5/4 flyer for 3 mana with no downside. Holy shit. And you can't even, like, fuck with basic lands. You know, this thing, it's crazy. It's not, like, mythic level crazy. I'm just saying, for an uncommon, they did something I really wanted.
Especially for blue. Blue gets, either it's like a 3-1 or like a 1-5. But this is actually going to be a well-rounded creature, 4-4, 5-4, stuff like that, for 3 mana. Last we have, what?
Benelish Marshall?
Benelish Marshall.
Michelle.
Triple white, it's a human knight, 3-3. Other creatures you control get +1/+1.
So it's like a legend, it's like an enchantment.
So I was, without reading it, I was like... You know, I just glanced at it. I was like, oh, other white creatures you control get +1/+1. And then I actually read it. I was like, oh, there's no stipulation. Just other creatures you control.
3 mana, 3/3, which is fine.
So it's just a lord for everybody.
For an uncommon. Great. If this was a rare, I'd be like, yeah, it's an okay rare. But this is something that you can, like, do in draft.
This is going to make draft fun.
Okay, let me talk about this one.
Talk about it.
Knight of Grace.
Ooh.
One in a white.
Oh, yeah.
So this is some kind of referencing old knights from back in the day.
Ooh, yeah.
So it's a 2-mana 2/2 human knight. It's got first strike. So already, it's not double white. It's not black white. It's not nothing crazy casting cost. Just one in a white for a 2/2 first strike. Totally playable. But then it has hex proof from black, which does not mean protection, because they're doing away with protection mostly. So it's not like it's unblockable and that stuff. It's more like, dude, you can't cast spells to kill this thing that are black.
Right.
But you can still block with your black creatures and all that shit, so it's a little bit like protection light. Which is great, though. Still
protection
great.
Protection light.
So, it's light armor. Baby armor. So, but this thing, even still, even though that already reads fantastic, this also gets +1/+0 as long as any player controls a black permanent. God damn, dude. So a 3/2 first strike with hexproof from removal color for one and a white? Like, god damn, man. Like, so far, these uncommons, which I'm guessing all these are, fucking really, really good.
They're
so
ramping
good.
Up the power level.
I mean, Jesus, dude.
They were like, yeah, the return to Zendikar wasn't too great. It was pretty low. Let's turn it up to 11.
So they have Knight of Malice, which is the same thing, but in black. So it's protection from white. If someone controls a white permanent, it gets +1/+0. It's a 2/2 first strike. It's exactly the same, just a mirror for color.
You know,
so good, dude. So good.
You know, with all the merfolk in
Preach.
The last set, which was Ixalan. Thank you.
Welcome.
We really needed some more ammunition for modern merfolk. And here we have it. Merfolk Trickster. Double blue. It's a 2/2 merfolk wizard. It has flash. When this thing enters the battlefield, tap target creature an opponent controls. It loses all abilities until end of turn.
What a ridiculous card. It's so good.
Oh my god. Damn it. Like, okay, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fish player. I'm not a merfolk player. We know one of them. I would say this is like awesome sideboard material. for just shit you can't handle.
In a Merfolk Modern deck, this is fine. This could be something. Okay, so. Like cheese. So
delicious.
You attack me with your Hazoret.
I do.
5/4 haste, indestructible.
All day.
And I let you attack, so it's already tapped in attacking.
Right.
I can't tap it anymore. It's already tapped over. So I flash this thing in as a 2/2, and it's battlefield. I target it. It loses all abilities till end of turn. So it loses indestructible, and then I just like double block it or something like that. Nothing, like no problem. It takes away indestructible on that kind of shit.
Okay, I feel really dumb.
Yeah.
Just remind me, it's been a long time since I've actually paid attention to Magic. So keywords are abilities, correct? It's not like
it won't lose like power or toughness.
Right.
But the card is basically blank.
I've been playing too much of that goddamn other TCG.
Oh, okay.
And it's just fucking my brain up.
Yeah, it should basically just turn it into like a vanilla creature, essentially. So if it's indestructible or flying or any of that stuff, it's all gone. And it just has regular power and toughness. It won't take away counters. But, I mean, it takes away everything else.
Stupid Elder Scrolls fucking
so
legends.
So, it allows you to, in a standard format, it allows you to take care of, like, Hazoret, which is awesome. And also, like, Scarab God or something has, I believe this counts for that, where if it ever dies, it goes back to the hand or whatever afterwards.
Right.
And you know what, that might be confusing, because it gets it. No, it probably doesn't have it, because
at the point
at the same time.
Of death, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't think it would go back to the hand, but
so
then again, I'm not a judge.
Right. So anyways, the point is we're trying to make some examples here, but you guys will figure it out. You guys are all smart. You guys are all smarty pantses out there.
So some more of the...
Sagas?
Sagas, auras, a bunch of the uncommon, common stuff. Looks like a cycle. We got Dub for 2 and a white. Enchantment aura. Enchant creature gets +2/+2, has first strike, and is a knight in addition to its other types.
That's very boring.
Very boring. I thought it was going to be a saga.
No, it's not a saga. The saga ones are next to it.
Yeah, right next to it. And I started reading it, and then I was the fuck.
And then it was the fuck.
So, Chainer's Torment for 3 and a black.
There we are.
It's a saga. The first one and 2. Chainer's Torment deals 2 damage to each opponent, and you gain 2 life.
Not redirected to Planeswalkers.
Not redirected.
Just to the player.
And so that's 4/1 and 2. And 3, create an XX Black Nightmare Horror creature token, where X is half your life total, rounded up. It deals X damage to you. What? So, basically you get a big-ass creature, but it takes half your life.
It's exactly what it does.
I don't like that at all.
It's pretty aggressive.
It is.
It's pretty aggressive.
I mean, if you got like a Rogue's Passage or something,
super,
but...
Super scary.
Well, I mean, I guess since you're gaining life, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
And if you're playing...
gaining half that life or something? I don't even know, dude.
Put it in like a life gain commander deck?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
No. That's too scary. I don't like
it. What's up with that blue one?
No, I don't care.
You don't care?
No, not really.
I haven't even read it yet.
No, it's okay. It's fine. How about this? How about Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle? It is 3 and a white, so it's 4 mana for a 2/2 with flying. It's a legendary creature, bird, cleric. Whenever you cast a historic spell, this is a new text for us, return target creature card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Historic spells are artifacts, legendaries, or sagas. Those are what qualify. So most importantly, probably just artifacts. So whenever you cast an artifact, legendary, or saga, you get to bring back a creature to the battlefield. It's fucking good.
3 or less.
I think that's good. I think this is one of those that can see play, even though it's, you know, it's only a 2/2 for 4 is not great. But every spell afterwards is going to be fantastic. Pretty fantastic. Getting some shit back. So that was a good one. I like that. That's what seems like it's a rare. Take this one. Take Lich's Mastery.
I zoomed in on that motherfucker. So this one, very interesting. 3 triple black legendary enchantment. It has hexproof. So your opponents cannot target it. And it says, you can't lose the game.
That's it. It gets a good card.
Boom. Next, whenever you gain life, draw that many cards.
Boom.
Holy
shit.
What's happening? Where am I? Oh, whenever you lose life, for each one life you lost, exile a permanent you control or a card from your hand or graveyard.
At least it says graveyard in
there. Yeah, graveyard.
A little scary otherwise.
Okay, so that's not too bad. But when this thing leaves the battlefield, you lose the game.
That's ultimate high risk, high reward.
So if they, like, wipe your side of the board and then attack in pretty good, like, you know. This is definitely high risk, high reward.
When you gain
Commander.
Life, you draw that many cards? Like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Commander, though, I don't want this in Commander. Even though it's amazing, and that's probably where it's made for. But, dude, there's too much shit that just, like, destroy all permanent shit. The board wipes are not just for creatures. Exile all enchantments. Destroy all enchantments. You know, Cyclonic Rift. Like, I mean, that's too much.
Yeah, it does say when it leaves the battlefield.
If for some reason you're not playing blue or white, maybe I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay.
But if you're playing blue or white, I can't play this card. It just means, like, hey, draw one of the seven cards that are in your commander deck. You win the game. That's frightening.
Oh, that is... Never mind.
How about Llanowar Elves, my friend?
Oh, is that a new card?
Remember when they... Yeah, it's been... I think TCG Player has 4 pages of this card of printings. Like, it has been printed in every set up until...
To shit.
2012. You know what I mean? Every fucking set. This thing, Wizard said back when Reich was here, that the one mana dork is too good. It's not going to be in standard anymore. Get over it. No more Arbor Elves. No Llanowar. No Mystic Elf. No whatever. Like, it's done.
We're taking it away.
It's gone.
You guys abused it.
Elvish Mystic, right? Yeah, none of that. All that shit's gone. So, but now, for some reason, it's back. And so I decided to buy 4 promos, and I'm excited I did.
Fuck yeah.
That's cool.
Buy those motherfuckers.
Yeah, WPN promos. So that's going to be exciting. I mean, that's a turn 3 Karn.
That is.
You know, what are you going to do?
Oof.
Turn 3 Karn, bro. That's if you once you do turn 3 Karn, then it's like, just pick up the cards, bro. It's done. It's over.
So looking at some more sagas here. Song of Freylis. 1 and 2. It's 1 and a green for an enchantment saga. The 1 and 2 lore counters. Until your next turn, creatures you control gain tap, add 1 mana of any color. Okay. And number 3, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance, trample, and indestructible until end of turn. Okay, I didn't see that one coming. That's not too bad.
I mean, it's really cheap. It gives you ramp in the early game. Those first 2 turns are the only time that's going to really matter for your creatures to ramp out. That's pretty awesome. And then after that, the card is hoping that you have your board built up enough from the help it's given you for 2 turns
right.
to just go ham, and then you'd be able to swing in with everything. And it has trample, and it can't be destroyed, and it's got vigilance. So, yeah, it gives you basically it's saying when this thing ticks up to 3, you need to attack this turn. That's all that says.
Huh. Interesting.
Not bad, though. If it's that uncommon, that's great. It's a great card.
I agree.
I don't think it's, like, absolutely insane. I just think that it's a good card, especially like in limited. And you see that get played, your opponent's just going to have to sit there and just think. What can I do in the next 2 turns? Like, I'm on a clock. I'm going to lose. What am I going to do about this? It's not too bad.
Man, so there's a lot of throwbacks to older cards, you know, like with the Knights.
Hell yeah.
And then with... Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Squee the Immortal. There's also another one mana Lavamancer. But the one I was looking at was Rat Colony for 1 and a black. It's a 2/1 rat. Rat Colony gets +1/+0 for each other rat you control. And then this is where it gets a little dickheadish. A deck can have any number of cards named Rat Colony. Oh,
so it's like
fuck.
Relentless Rats.
Yes.
But 1 mana cheaper, and it doesn't get boost of toughness.
Right.
It normally got +1/+1.
I think so.
Now everything can get board wiped by that fucking 3 mana red uncommon, that triple red dude that does damage. But anyways, it still can. You can make a bunch of fucking 7/1s out of nowhere.
Ugh.
Pretty gross.
That's horrible.
What about... I like that card a lot, by the way. I'm really excited they printed that, and I'm hoping that the We should just buy a bunch of foils. Nebin, Dean of Iteration. Pretty weird. One in a blue. It's a 2/1. Legendary creature, human wizard. So it's 2 mana, 2/1. But it's important to wizards. Very important to wizards. It's a little panharmonicon for wizards. If a wizard entering the battlefield under your control causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So panharmonicon is already amazing at 4 mana.
Right.
If for some reason you can build something that's a Wizards Matters type deck that enter the battlefield abilities from whatever else, then that's pretty amazing to do something twice.
You know what? I've been looking at the EDH Wizards deck, and, like, sure, it's, like, kind of low-powered, but there's some shenanigans there.
Oh, big time.
And so I'm kind of thinking about picking it up, especially if it's at Toys R Us for, like, $10. Like, fucking buy a couple of those bad boys.
Yeah. That's a good card, though. It could be a $2 card, or for some reason people could really figure out they had enough Wizards in Standard, or maybe even in Modern, and this card can go up to $15. I figure that if it's decent, it'll be at probably 4, and if it's bad, it'll probably be at 2. But if it's, you know, somehow this thing comes out and it's a 3/4 in some strategy, then I expect more. But I don't see that yet. I see maybe in the future that foils of this card can go up pretty high, but right now I'm still thinking that this is going to be like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
Even though it's so good. It's awesome.
Yeah, especially for a fucking 2-drop. That's nice. So we have Lyra Dawnbringer. 3WW, legendary creature angel to 5/5, flying first strike lifelink. Other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink.
I mean, I'm not thrilled, even though this is sort of my style with the lifelink and the flying and the white, you know. Sort of talks to me a little bit, but this card it's very good. Don't get me wrong, it's very good. But I don't know what in Standard it's going to do. I mean, I imagine in Commander, this is super easy to throw into an Angels deck. Some kind of big flying, Boros Angels deck. That'd be amazing. This would be great for it. But I don't know what this is going to do in Standard, besides just be a nice way to gain some life and beat down in the air. But I don't know.
I mean, it's looking like there's some synergy. There's a bunch of wizards. Let's see. Ooh, there's... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. The story that these cards tell. Demon Lord Belzenlok. Yeah, I believe that's the last demon that Liliana has to kill to break her thing.
Okay. Or
maybe it's not the last. I know it's one of them, I believe. I'm a little backed up on the lore here. Let's click in and see what this bad boy reads. So it's a legendary creature, Elder Demon, for 4BB. It's a 6/6 Flample, Flying Trample. When this thing enters the battlefield, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. Then put that card into your hand. If the card's converted mana cost is 4 or greater, repeat this process. This Demon Lord deals 1 damage to you for each card put into your hand this way.
I mean, Commander seems cool.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. At least it's only 1 damage. It's not like weird converted mana cost nonsense. You know, if you draw 3 cards and pay 3 life, and you still have a 6/6 Flying Trample left over, that's a great value.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, this could just be, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just have that other demon where you can go fucking... search for a card and put it in your hand.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. Might be fun for fucking Standard or maybe like a Commander shenanigans. I got a lot more excited than I should have been.
What about... see, there's some card you passed over. The Eldest Reborn. It's a black card. You like black cards. 5 mana. It's 4 and a black. It's a saga. The first counter put on this thing, each opponent sacrifices a creature or a planeswalker. Cool. Maybe not for 5 mana, but still cool. The second one, each opponent discards a card. Okay, also, it's fine, nothing great. And the third one, put target creature or planeswalker card from a graveyard, by the way, which, you know, is probably in there because you made it sacrifice it, puts it on the battlefield under your control.
Okay.
So it's slow, but it is like an Unburial Rites or something like that that gets to do some stuff along the way. So I think this is one of the better of the bunch, though, because all these... It was just more impactful. It's more impactful. It's not just putting counters on stuff or whatever. It's very... I think it's really impactful. So, I think this one's a pretty good one. And I don't know... I don't know what you would actually find or where you'd actually put this, though.
But I mean,
I like all the abilities.
I could kind of see it in, like, Mirren, you know, or something
else. Yeah, something
else.
Like that.
Something
good.
Where your graveyard's going to, you know, not... Your graveyard's going to be a resource.
Yeah.
Maybe even zombies.
Commander's got to be good, because if they're going to be... You're getting a decent amount of value in Commander from it, too.
Right.
And if someone's got to use a removal spell before you actually get to put back a creature or planeswalker from someone's graveyard, you know, I think it's a pretty decent trade-off. If they're going to spend their removal spell for enchantments on this thing, you're like, fine, I already made you sacrifice a creature, you know, no big deal.
So Kicker's back. Not that exciting.
Yeah, Kicker is back.
But it's back. Back again. Ooh, so we have Marwyn the Nurturer. Legendary creature, elf druid, 1/1 for 2 and a green. When another elf enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on this person. Tap, add an amount of forest equal to this person's power.
Yeah.
Zur's power.
Zur.
You know, not too shabby.
Yeah. What about settle the score?
Dude, settle.
Black removal, man.
Settle.
2/2 black. 4 mana. Exile target creature. Put 2 loyalty counters on a planeswalker you control. But guess what?
What?
Sorcery.
Otherwise,
it'd be like really fucking good. Still good, though. I mean, you're still going to be exiling a creature, and then this could be a way that you really fucking pump up that planeswalker and get to ultimate super fast and you win the game. So this could be a sorcery way of just getting a faster win. It could be pretty important, honestly.
Yeah, you know, honestly. it's like you go down with a Vraska, destroy something, and then exile a creature, she goes back up. Eh.
So I have to get out of here pretty quick, so I need to burn
get
through a couple of these
out
ones.
Of here.
Yeah. What about Mox Amber? You seen that one?
Please read it.
0 mana Mox. So
what?
Already.
Get the fuck out of my garage.
Get your $80 ready.
Yeah.
It's a legendary artifact, and all it says is tap and add 1 mana of any color among legendary creatures and permanents you control. So it is a 1 mana tap for any color Mox, just like all the Moxes previous. One of them cared about artifacts. The old ones that are totally broken and banned, those things are tap for one color and, you know, do shit for them. But this one requires a legendary creature or planeswalker, and I'm thinking, like, when you get to a point when you have one of those, does this extra mana matter? Is there a way that we can play, like, that legendary red creature, the one I play for tiny leaders, that 1 mana red dude that's a 2/2 that can't block or whatever, blah blah blah.
Oh, the bell ringer?
Yeah, whatever. Zurgo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not him per se, but something like that. A legendary creature that is very cheap that will allow this to be important on turns 2 through 4 when it actually matters. But if you're gonna, like, play a planeswalker and then play Mox Amber, like, I don't give a fuck about that. Cool. I'm not gonna counter it. Cool. Go ahead and have your mana, you know? So this needs to be something that is very aggressive, and it needs to be some sort of ramp, some kind of ramp to it. So are there any legendary creatures that are in green, maybe? Like some kind of green 2-drop that taps for mana, and then you get to play this, and so on turn 3 you get to have like 4 or 5 mana, you know, something that's really explosive? That's cool.
Is the Flip Jace, is his front side legendary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you can have him. Yeah, you could have Jace fucking out on
something
1.
Something like that, right?
And then be able to loot on 2.
That's the kind of shit I'm talking about. So it's got to be something like that. Some kind of legendary 2-drop.
That actually might maybe make Jace playable in Modern. I mean, there's just so much removal that you can't wait a turn to. He's like, Flip Jace is always like on the outskirts of Modern. Like, people think he's going to do something and he doesn't. And there's just too much removal to wait that turn. But yeah, something like this might make it more playable. But if you're really trying to do that on
So let me hear you out on this, though. Let me continue this. Turn two. So you play this on turn one.
Right.
No mana, right? You, let's just say you...
no land?
What's that? No, with the land.
Okay.
I'm saying you play your land, you play this, and then you you opt, or Serum Visions or whatever, right?
Blue right.
Deck. Then, turn two, you play your Jace, and then now this thing's activated, and so now you have an extra mana. So you play your Jace, and then you're able to Serum Visions or opt again, or hold up for Path to Exile. That's pretty good for turn two, to be able to do something like that, to actually do your turn two play, which is Jace, but then still be able to play Serum Visions. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread this and mislistened. I thought it was...
Classic.
Classic me. I thought it was add any color of...
To cast just legendaries.
One, to cast legend. That's why I was saying Jace on one.
No.
Okay.
No, you have to control something to actually make this thing relevant. So you have to have a small creature for the sake of... Yeah, because otherwise, I think it's fine. If you want to go your route, then you can go ahead and cast Jace on three. Because you have this. That's fine. But the point is that to cast Jace on three with this, you actually have to already control something else, like Jace's Fringe Prodigy. So I think that... That's a good example, though. Even still, I think it's a really good example of using Jace, Fringe Prodigy, as an enabler for something like this, to be able to Serum Visions or Hold Open Path or something like that. So that's pretty cool. Because blue, mono blue doesn't have any sort of ramp. But if you're playing like that mono blue take turns decks or something like that,
yeah,
which Fringe Prodigy could be played in as well, because it has that flashback ability when it gets flipped.
That's true.
So you can get the time warps and keep doing it over and over again. That taking turns deck's pretty popular right now, so that's not bad. Play Jace and bigger Jace and Cryptics and Remands and all that kind of shit and see if you can go crazy on it. Snapcasters, you know? I think that's all pretty good, actually.
I know this isn't, like, super exciting cards in the set.
Probably
but
is.
The other cycle of the check lands, those are just nice.
No, it's nice. It's
like,
nice.
Standard's going to be
not
fun now. Standard's going to be fucking a big ball of fucking fun.
Yeah.
Because you have any fucking mana you want.
No problem.
Sounds I like
great.
It.
What about Damping Sphere? It's two mana artifact. If a land is tapped for two or more mana, a.k.a. Tron lands, a.k.a. Eldrazi Temple, something like that, it produces one colorless instead of any other type or amount. And then it has a second part, and second hoser, a.k.a. Storm hoser. Each spell a player casts costs one more to cast for each other spell that player has cast this turn. So you can't go off on stuff like that.
Okay.
So this is a two-for-one sideboard card. Definitely no main deck for any format in any way, unless maybe there's some reason this is going to be played in, like, vintage legacy shit. But as far as sideboards goes, you're able to work against two archetypes with one card, and that's going to be something that... This card's going to be playable. And if foils are cheap, get them now kind of thing. But they're probably not going to be cheap. I imagine this card's going to be $4 and the foils are going to be 12.
That's a great sideboard card for any modern deck,
yeah,
really. Like, I can picture this going in 8-rack
yeah,
sideboard easily.
Not a problem.
Because fucking Tron is real hard for us unless we get off to a really good start.
It's like you're like a whole different kinds of people.
Well, it's... Yeah, what do you mean different?
So now we figured out your pronoun.
What do you mean... What do you mean, you people?
Yes. Anyway, super good card, though. One of the best cards of the set.
Rack, Rick, Rock.
There are some cool multicolored stuff that we haven't gone over as well. Like, how about this? Adelas? I'm going to go Adelas. The Cinder Wind. It is three mana. It's one, is it? One blue, red. For a 2/2 flying haste. So already, that's great. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, wizards you control get +1/+1 till end of turn.
Nice.
By itself, it's already great. And now you're saying that itself gets pumped because it's a wizard and all your other wizards and all that shit. And then now fucking Panharmonicon doubles it. Like, you know, not for this trigger, but still. Another good wizard card.
Really, oh, really cool card. No. Oath of Teferi.
That's a really good card.
Oh, but
wait,
the...
You don't like it?
I mean, I haven't even read it. Just the title is like, just reminds me of the Gatewatch. Makes me want to puke in my cereal.
It's a good card, bro.
So three, white and a blue, legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, exile another target permanent you control. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. Okay.
That's fine. It's Teferi. Teferi does that. They blink.
And then the other part, you may activate the loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control twice each turn rather than only once.
Yeah, it's good.
What are the colors in Atraxa?
Not red.
Fuck! That's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because this is going in the Planeswalker Atraxa deck. But good thing nobody in our playgroup plays that anymore, so fantastic.
Actually, I have a built deck in my...
But you don't have the Planeswalker version.
Not the Planeswalker version,
no. Exactly. So I got really excited when I saw the Dimir one, and it's not that great, so I didn't want to talk about it.
So, here is a card that I was kind of waiting for. I'm not saying this is going to do anything, but...
It's the Stowaway, isn't it?
What's that? No.
Okay.
So there's a card I was waiting for, a type of card like this I was waiting for, because they printed a land a couple sets ago that's really good, but nobody's ever played it. It's the something Cataracts or whatever it is. It is a land that you can pay, you tap it, and then 5 mana, so 6 mana of any color or whatever, and this land produces Wooburg.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, and it's indestructible as well. And it's like, what is this land for? What are we going to come out with? Now there's this Jota Archmage Eternal, which is one red, white, blue, flying 4/3. You may pay Wooburg, you know, one of each color, rather than pay the amount, the mana cost for spells that you cast. So you're able to pay, you know, play any crazy converted mana cost, anything, any kind of 11 mana, whatever the fuck.
So you're like, oh, thing. By the way, Ugin... Oh, cost, by the way, costs
5 now. Or 6 with this other land, but...
By the way, Bolas...
All of it is cheaper now. I'm not sure if that's going to matter. I mean, this is only a 3 toughness creature, doesn't have any protection or anything like that, but I'm trying to figure out... I bought a bunch of these cards. I bought a bunch of these foil lands that came out in this set because it didn't have a home at all. It had no reason for being
but
there.
But they look like they could do something
exactly.
Somewhere.
So I'm thinking this has got to do something eventually, in my opinion, because it's got no purpose being in this set, and nobody's talking about it at all, but it's indestructible, and it creates all the colors. So it's got to be some good sometime. So I think I bought like 12 foils of it.
Nice.
And I'm not saying it's going to pop off now, but I've been waiting for some cards like this to come out so that it means something. Like, it's got to mean something. And,
to somebody.
So I'm thinking that this might be there's a 1% chance. So give me one last card because I gotta go.
One last card.
Make it good.
We're gonna go with this one's cool. Shanna Sisse's Legacy for a green and a white. Legendary creature, human warrior, can't be the target of abilities your opponents control, and it gets +1/+1 for each creature you control.
It's weird that it's only abilities. It's not that it's hexproof, it's that it's only abilities, which is still fine, but not something that, I mean, I think that that's going to be more fatal push fodder than planeswalker fodder.
Yeah, probably.
Still cool, though, and might be really good, but I'm also a little bummed that it's a legendary for the sake of...
Okay, I got another one.
All right.
Fire Song and Sunspeaker. 4 red and a white. It's a legendary creature.
This is a good
Minotaur
one.
Cleric, 4/6.
No such thing, by the way. No way.
Never.
Minotaur Cleric? How dare you?
Dude, they are all about killing. Red instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink. That's only been seen once before ever on a card. Hello! Whenever a white instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, this thing deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Okay, this thing...
But remember, they're not the same color.
Yeah, but I don't really give a shit because this is... Finally, Boros has a decent fucking commander. Boros has always been shafted. Boros is the worst colors in the EDH... Boros, just go home. Why are you even at EDH night? You don't belong here.
I agree that it's the worst 2 colors to pair up. Yeah.
But so finally you get a decent Boros commander, regardless of whether the other 99 are actually good in the deck. If you want to try for the Boros, you have a good leader this time.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, yeah. I think that maybe in a Jeskai deck, in a three color deck that has blue, that this would be a good part of the 99. Because I don't think that if my deck, I don't want my deck to be only red and white sorceries in instance. I'd want it to be blue also.
Right,
to
right.
To like have the full range of things it can do. But then all of your red and white stuff, and that could also be stuff that's multicolor with blue in it, then it's a lot, then it's better. You know what I mean? So that's pretty cool.
I just think this is a fucking, get all the X red spells, the damage X red spells. Just get all those, you know. Whether they do damage to all creatures on the ground or all creatures or all players or whatever.
Blasphemous Act.
You get all those. And then you just get a bunch of white gain life spells. And you just fuck everybody's day up. And you'll probably have to find a new playgroup after that.
Yeah, maybe.
No one's going to like you.
We'll see.
And or invite you back to dinner. But anyways, I think that's it for us this episode of If Lands Could Kill. First, you know, send us those things that we asked for in the beginning of the episode, which I don't remember what they are now.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It was like funny stuff or something. I don't remember. So please do whatever we said an hour ago. And yeah, I mean, we got some changes coming up, probably. We don't even really know what they are, but the times are a changing, my good sir. So we're just gonna roll with the punches and see what's going on. And Hot Sauce is pregnant, and he shouldn't be drinking.
But
take that cigarette out of your mouth, Missy. Zer. Mister?
Zer.
Mister.
I like
Zer.
It by Zer now.
Perfect. Well, you are an enchanter, and you're enchanting this podcast with your lovely presence, and we always appreciate you here on Knife Jesus. Cities, If Lands Could Kill. That's it for this episode.
Is this what you do in your alone time?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm behind all this magic that happens, even though I'm in a stinky garage with a Friends poster on the wall. Anyways, that's it for this episode. I'm Knife City.
I'm Hot Sauce.
And we'll check you guys next time. PBR and cocaine aren't gonna buy themselves. Take no beat, I take no beat, I take no beat, I take no beat, I take no beat.
talking to me.
Motherfuckers.